So the phrase I was thinking about today is progression. And there are a lot of different things that refers to. Like that could be the progression of our skills and our experience and how we learn. It could be the progression of how our clients learn. It could be the progression of how we structure a lesson or a course. It could be the progression of how we introduce people to terrain, say on a day of technical climbing. What I'm actually thinking about more right now is terrain progression in terms of ski guiding, because it's a really important part of ski guiding for sure. And I've had a couple conversations lately with a few people. They're younger, getting into more avalanche education, getting into potentially some ski guiding, and they were asking me like how I dealt with ski trips and, you know, do I monitor the snowpack in places that I'm going to go to very closely, because I had all these spreadsheets with lots of data in it. And, I think it's an interesting piece for a ski guide, or say anytime you're working in avalanche terrain. So it could be certainly an ice climbing guide in certain places or an alpine guide. But I think ski guiding is one that we think about all the time in this realm. And depending on the type of kind of ski guide or avalanche professional, if we kind of have a broader term, you are, I think you can handle things differently and kind of approach things somewhat differently. I think of like some differences between different avalanche professionals would be someone who works in like tenured land, mechanized ski guiding, they're kind of in the same area, even if it's really large, maybe it's a heli ops or a cat ops, but they do a lot of forecasting, a lot of digging, they're kind of there for the season, they're monitoring the snowpack through the whole season, you know, that type of avy professional. And then kind of like on the other end of that would be more like the ski guide like myself who travels a lot. Like I don't necessarily work in the same snowpack all the time. Like I travel a fair amount and oftentimes I'm only there for a very short period of time, maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks. So I don't really have a lot of, you know, intimacy with that snowpack when I go to that trip. Maybe I'm pretty intimate with the terrain. Maybe I've been there before. So that's something that's kind of nice that takes some uncertainty away. But certainly the snow's always different. So, you know, I find that for me as a traveling guy, I think a lot about terrain and progressing into terrain. And, you know, I think right now there's this tendency to rely too much on data, because we can get data from so many places. And I've kind of hinted on this on one or two other podcasts. Like there's so much data available. There's so many, you know, snowtell sites or weather things or whatever. You know, social media, there's so many places for data now. The problem is like sometimes it's too much. So some of these folks I was talking to earlier, they were collecting too much data. I'm like, that you're so far removed from all this data collecting that it's not actually, you don't have any connection to it. So to collect all of it is kind of a waste of your time. Like you need to filter out what is the data that's most relevant. Maybe when that data might be the most relevant, you know, maybe the source of that data, but don't just collect everything, right? Because you're just going to get swamped and you're never going to remember any of it. So it's not going to help you out at all when you could have been using that energy for something else. So I think our ability to produce data and then store it is interesting now, but it kind of allows people to think they can kind of data their way out of a situation or kind of outsmart the mountain. And, you know, we're going to get to the point with technology where the data and all that stuff, it's going to be there. I guarantee it. It might not be in my lifetime, but at some point, you know, we're going to have some amazing tools that are going to be right at our fingertips that we can access all the time out in the field, unless whatever tool you're using, battery dies or gets broken. So then we're back to square one. So I think when I was talking to these folks, it's like, you need to pick the data, right, that seems most relevant. You know, keep track of the snowpack, but don't freak out about every forecast that comes in. And as you get closer to your trip to that area, you know, maybe 2 weeks out, start looking at it more every day, right? So then really start digging in. So that way you're going to see some of like, you know, weather patterns that are happening just before you go, and maybe some more red flag things that they're forecasting, and then you can, you know, get really into the weeds a little bit more as you get closer, you know, and then once you're there, you're monitoring the weather patterns, you know, from there forward. So I do think that's really important to kind of look at that stuff for sure. But what I'm spending most of my time on is looking at maps and looking at terrain, because I'm never going to know what's under the snow surface, right? I just can't know. There's too much, variability, you know, with the way mountains are and wind and aspect and elevations and sun and all of that stuff, that I can never really know what's going to happen underneath there. So I'm not going to try to like outsmart that piece or tech it out so much and kind of be try to have more certainty in those areas. I'm going to go for the biggest targets that I think I can hit and be right. And to me, that's terrain. So like, for example, like if you're going to go to Colorado, first of all, red flag, Colorado snowpack. So that's an easy one to some degree. But it's like, if I see a persistent weak layer, I don't have to really worry about like, where exactly is it? You know, is it, you know, all this stuff? I'm like, all right, persistent weak layer equals red flag. Okay. Red flag to me equals careful terrain choice and terrain travel. Done. You know, wind slab. Wind slab's a red flag. Well, guess what? Red flag to me is careful terrain selection and travel. Done. You know, wet slab, same process. You know, storm slab, same process. Deep persistent weak layers, same process. So, like, it all comes back down to the terrain, right? Like, you can have the most cryptic, scary snowpack ever, but if you're not in terrain where it's going to slide, it's not a big deal. You know, so I think terrain is the tool that we really have to deal with a lot of these things and provide the margins, because it's a lot more tangible. And even terrain's tricky. Like, you can easily be misled into terrain because it's looks less steep than it actually is, you know, and then there's always the disconnect between what you see on a map or what you see on some sort of like 3D, like Google Earth or FatMap type platform, than what you actually see out there. So it's not like we can't get into trouble even when we have using terrain primarily, but most of the time we can use terrain, you know, to our advantage. And that way it allows us to ease ourselves into bigger terrain, more consequential ski runs or whatever. So I remember when I went to Valdez, I only guided there once. I mentioned this in another episode, and I flew in with my clients, you know, drove the same car. Like, I had no time to be in the terrain before I actually got to go guide. Like, it was like, all right, show up and go guide. But I had spent a lot of time before that trip, you know, monitoring the snow every once in a while, but then also really spending a lot of time with the maps. So, like, I had a whole list of tours so I could progress into different terrain, you know, for the whole time we were there. I mean, I probably had three times the amount of tours that I could have possibly done. You know, I had short tours. I had long tours. I have tours that had essentially very, very, very low exposure to avalanche terrain, if any at all. I had tours that had much more exposure to avalanche terrain. I had tours that were heavily glaciated. I had tours that were not glaciated. I had tours on different aspects, you know, that combined those pieces. And I had this whole run list of things that I thought we could do while we're there, to, you know, and also kind of progressing like, okay, well, we're going to start here just to kind of get a lay of the land and see what's happening in the snow by looking around and just figuring out like, okay, where do you park? Sweet, check. First box, check. You know, and then even from there, while we were out in the field, I saw other tours. I'm like, oh, we should try that tour, and then could go back and add that to my list. And I also, that part of that tour progression is like, as the trip goes on, we also have to think about clients' fatigue, you know, snow conditions, you know, kind of the flow of the trip in terms of that side of things too. So it's not just a progression into terrain because of avalanche stuff, but it's also progression in terrain to see how clients are skiing at that point, their fitness, their what they think might be interesting, you know, all those different things. So the spending a lot of time on the tour progression is pretty key. I like to guide in Iceland. The ski guiding there is super fun. It's spring skiing, so I find that the snowpack's a little bit more reliable, a little bit easier to figure out. It's a little bit more of a timing issue. And there's tons of terrain from whatever you want, like the mellowest tours ever to super steep stuff to long, long tours covering multiple drainages. And even to this day, when I go there, even though I've been there a bunch and I have all my old notes and GPS tracks, I'm still constantly looking at tour plans. So if I go on a trip with clients, I'm like, all right, well, I have some stuff I know I can go do, but let's keep looking to see if there might be some other things that this group might really like. And if I'd like to, if I know this group is wants to get on a certain type of terrain at some point, what are their tours that are going to progress me into that? So both in terms of getting them ready for that, so physically and emotionally, you know, maybe to exposure, but also how are these tours going to relate to me getting my eyes on this terrain to see what the snow is doing? So I can ski this terrain over here, you know, but I'm also getting eyes on that terrain over there. That way, in 2 days from now, if the weather is stable, you know, and favorable, now I can go over to there with a little less uncertainty. So really big deal. And it comes down to some of the most fundamental things for me. Like I look at the map and I literally look at the contour lines. It's like people think it's got to be more complex than that. It's actually not. Like when the contour lines are close together, it's steep terrain. When the contour lines are spread apart, it's lower angle terrain. It is as easy as starting at that. I remember doing a trip once with somebody and, you know, they're like, we don't know what to do. Like, we don't know where to ski, you know? And I was just like, look at the map. Like, yeah, but we just don't know where to go. I'm like, well, look at the contour lines. Like that will give you your starting point. Like if I want just a long mellow tour that doesn't have a lot of avalanche hazard, I'm gonna look for contour lines that are pretty wide apart, right? So I think we tend to make this stuff a little bit too difficult sometimes. But I tend to resort back to these really big fundamental pieces is maps and terrain. So if we don't work the terrain is definitely going to work us. And in terms of like ski guiding in particular, like that's where we build our margins is around terrain, because you can't outsmart the snow, right? The snow is so variable and does all kinds of stuff. Sometimes it's completely you know, unpredictable or unexpected what you see versus what you think you're going to see. And the terrain is pretty much stays the same all the time unless it like falls off, right? So I think the terrain piece is really important to work that progression, spend a lot of time getting a bunch of tours set up, you know, which doesn't mean, like I mentioned earlier, that you can't find a tour while you're in the field and go, oh, that looks like a cool tour. Or someone says, hey, check this out. You know, this is a nice spot over here. You know, it's not on this platform, social media platform. So, you know, check it out. So there's always room for that, but having a nice backlog of tour plans so you can progress into terrain, super important. And then the other piece of that is when you're progressing into terrain, it's the same no matter what the progression is. So like all the stuff I mentioned in the very beginning, you got to keep your eyes open. You got to make observations all the time. You can gather so much relevant real world data when you're on these tours that you're progressing at the beginning of your trips into terrain that will allow you to maybe have less uncertainty for later in the trip, like if you want to get into more consequential terrain. So go around, always keep your eyes open for recent avalanche activities. Like every time I'm driving into a valley, I'm always got my eyes peeled for recent avalanche activity. Like how big was it? You know, what type of avalanche was it? You know, what's the aspect? What's the elevation? How far did it run? You know, all that stuff. You know, when you're out ski touring, like feel the snow, right? So a lot of the little things that we do out there, like, you know, you're using your ski pole to kind of probe the snow a little bit, maybe a quick hand shear on some newer snow that's got blown in, how the skin track feels, like how the snow breaks out of the skin tracks, it really slabbed up. Like if you do a kick turn or as you're traversing a slope, what happens below you? You know, are you seeing shooting cracks? Like there's so much data you can gain on these tours that is more relevant and gonna help you make bigger decisions than digging in the snow. Like digging in the snow has merit, but it's such a very small data point when there's a lot more data around you. For sure. So tour progressions, get out there, make a really good list of tour progression, you know, tours that can handle all kinds of different conditions. Because remember, you're not just looking for avalanche stuff, you're also looking for where's the good snow. So like, I'll have a lot of my tour progressions like, well, where do I think the good snow is going to be? Not just like, where do I think the avalanche is going to be? I spend probably 60% of my energy on where's the good snow and 40% of my energy on where are the avalanches. Like, that part is actually pretty stressful. It's sometimes it's hard to find the good snow. And then couple those tour plans with weather observations, so the weather that just happened. So kind of, once again, that's kind of more about avalanche, what avalanche hazard is going to be, but also like, where's the good snow? What's happening right now? And then what's going to happen? So we kind of start to make some understanding of those projections there. So all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay, this is going to happen. So, that's going to change the avalanche scene here. You know, it's going to change the snow quality for skiing here. So what's the tour that I have kind of lined up that might fit that parameter? Right. And if you don't have one, then you have to go find one. So I think it's something that you should spend a lot of time on, regardless of what the progression is. But certainly, as we're talking about ski guiding, is to really think of a nice tour progression, whether it's for just a day or a couple days. But certainly, as we go into a larger trip, that is going to be really key for success.